Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
You to turn this morning your Bibles to 1 Peter. This would be the last in the series that I've been preaching on 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. I believe the Lord, it will speak to our hearts today as He does through His Word every day when we go to His Word. As you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 5, just as way of a recall of this, the very in verse 12 of chapter 5 tells us the why. Peter is expressing to us the why of writing 1 Peter. And it is this: it is to encourage the church. And not only was he encouraging the church of the first century in Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey, among a people that were under heavy persecution, people that were new believers and being challenged on every hand, this newfound faith in Jesus, and that was very unpopular to the religious people of the day that was religions outside of Christ. And also for the culture in which they live, outside of that, when you declare lordship of Jesus versus maybe a political figure being called Lord, which was the reality of that particular day. And so Peter was encouraging the church to not stop, not to give up, to press forward, even if suffering were to come, even if hardships were to come their way. Likewise, this through the Holy Spirit, this word here has been for all generations since then. This word is effective even in this day. Around the world, there are still people that are under heavy persecution and even face martyrdom for Jesus Christ in our day, though we may not be as familiar with that here in the United States on that particular level, but it's not to mean that it could never happen in that way. And also, in our day, it is said, and I've mentioned these things before, that there is more persecution of Christians around the world in this day in which we live than any other time in history. That where people are persecuted if they do not renounce their faith in Jesus. And so I just want to, that is a background for this, and this is what this study has all been about, and how that he said, I've come to encourage you to stand in the true grace of God. The true grace of God that is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so throughout the book, he's talked about how we're to live in light of that reality and how to live for the glory of God, and how that we are to live for Christ in a culture that rejects God's way of doing things, but yet doing it in a way that is full of love, in a way that represents Christ in the right way, that we're living our life for His glory, but also in a loving way to be able to witness to other people, to draw other people to Jesus Christ. And so there lies the background. And then here in chapter 5, I want us to begin reading with verse 1 of chapter 5. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Today's message is cast, not carry. Cast, not carry. Verses 1 through 4 of this particular passage in our text today, he addresses the elders of the church. He addresses the pastors of the church. He addresses the lay leaders of the church. He's addressing the overseers of this of the local church that are receiving this letter, and thus to all generations of church, local church leadership. He's addressing them to make sure that they have the right motive in their leading the people of God. In fact, he says, you are shepherds of the flock of God. Sometimes we use vernacular and we don't mean anything by it, but it can communicate the wrong thing. You may not do this, but sometimes I hear this said. They will refer to a church and say, well, that is Brother so-and-so's church, Pastor so-and-so's church. Let me just announce to you that this is the flock of God here at Christian Heritage Church and not Pastor Stephen's church. And when you think of the church, don't think of it in terms of that, because it's the flock of God. And he also warns the church and to the leadership of the church particularly to not do their ministry with wrong motives. And really, he mentions money here. It should not, ministries for the Lord should not be motivated by money. That shouldn't be the why. The why should never be that. They're not saying that it doesn't require financial means, no. But what they're saying is that should not be the motivation. That should not be causes ministry to happen. And we live in a day where sometimes that's the way it can seem. And especially if you spend much time watching television, it seems like it's in church on television that seems to be associated with a dollar amount. And I want to tell you, this is a warning against that kind of motivation. Certainly we understand the nature that it requires finances and money to just turn on the lights in this building and all these functions. But that should never be the motivation. Then verse 5, he begins, and particularly verses 5-7, he brings his attention toward the other people in the church. He addresses you younger people. But he don't leave it there. He does say, younger people, you're to respect those elders, and it's in the church. And this eldership is not as much about age. It's got to do with young in faith and young believers and elders, spiritual elders of the church, overseers of the church. But then it says, I want you to be submissive one to another. I want you to have respect and honor one for another. So he don't leave anybody out here. And I always love that, because when he talks about submissiveness, he always brings about, lest anybody become thinking too highly of themselves, he'll switch it right back around and say, hey, I want you to be submissive and respectful to one another. So he always keeps everybody on this kind of level, because it's important here in this lesson when he talks about humility. So in verses 5-7, he's really focused on the humility that we should have. Actually, particularly in verse 5, where he says that we are to be clothed with humility, that we're to put on a garment of humility. And the first point I want to make this morning is this. That there is a link between anxiety and humility. I want you to see the humility and anxiety link that he has here. Verse 6, he addresses anxiety. Notice again, He says, be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, he says again, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. They may exalt you at due time. Verse 6. Then verse 7, casting all your care upon him. What I want you to note is that this is all the same sentence. A lot of times we will look at verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, as a different sentence. But actually, he's linking that to anxieties. Now, fully what he may mean here, I'm not sure, but what I do understand is, in this passage, he talks about humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He talks about how that God himself resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And can you imagine in their day of risk of death and suffering for their stand for Christ, that you could be overcome with some anxiety? Would anybody say that there might be a sense of tension in the air? But what he is saying, though, is there's a link between humility and anxiety, and therefore we need to rid ourselves of anxiety and come under and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now I want to address this just for a moment, anxiety, I want to say it this way: there's a lot when we talk about anxiety. That's not just one thing that we speak to. I believe that there are situations, just like somebody has, there can be anxiousness, and sometimes there's a medical condition associated with anxiety. And so we kind of use the same terminology for everything. But at the same time, I want to tell you, the scriptures do declare that we are to be anxious for nothing. The scriptures do tell us not to worry. The scriptures do declare that we are not, but I don't want to put everything under the same category today, so that I don't want to be misunderstood here, but I want to try my best to say what the Bible is saying in this passage. And he's saying there, and this word care has to do with anxiety. It's also translated in some of your versions of the Bible as anxiety. And he's saying, cast all your anxiety upon the Lord, for He cares for you. But he's connecting it and linking it to humility. And I just want to tell a part of a testimony of mine that some of you, and perhaps many of you, have heard me say before some years ago. But in 2018, I'll just have to say, prior to 2018, I don't know that I even understood anything about when somebody said, I'm having a panic attack, or I've got anxiousness. I feel like I'm just coming out of my skin with anxiety. I really thought I knew what they were talking about. But honestly, I did not know, because in 2018, that was the first time I had ever experienced anything like that for myself. And I realized I didn't understand what people had been saying. But in this particular case, in 2018, I could not identify what it was. I could not tell you, I can't to this day tell you exactly what caused it. Or I wasn't, there was not one thing that was bothering me. But nevertheless, it was a heaviness that I had not experienced before. Now, I'm not going to tell all the story yet. I'll come back to it. But what I want to tell you, and I believe this link between humility and anxiety, and I'm just going to tell you from my perspective. Well, I didn't tell anybody about it. I did not tell my wife, Sherry, I was experiencing this. I did not tell our pastors, other pastors at the church, about this. I didn't tell overseers of me within the organization that we're a part of. I didn't tell anybody. And I want to tell you what I think it was. Why do you think it was that I didn't tell anybody? Pride. This is where I think a link is. If we're not careful, we can start thinking that we've got to be so strong for everybody else that we can't ever ask anybody for anything or help. And in that case, you see, because I'm the pastor, I'm supposed to help you through that. I'm supposed to be praying for you. I'm supposed to be lifting you up. And So I found myself, I really can say this in light of what I've learned. At the time, I didn't realize this. But really, there was a pride issue, because I didn't want anybody to think less of me. And that's why I think this link is one of the reasons. I don't think it's the only thing, but it's one of the links here. Because if I'm going to be able to get the help that I need and for change to take place in my life, I also have to be willing to be vulnerable in order to have somebody else to be praying for me and as we are in this thing together. And so when he's talking about submitting to one another and all those things, and he's talking about humility and all those things, we need one another, amen? The church needs one another. And so I want to just tell you, that's just one. The thing is, that's just my thoughts about this link. But I do know this, whether I'm exactly right about it or not, what I know is he mentions humility and he mentions anxiety in the same sentence. And there appears to be that we cannot get free from the anxiety unless there is humility in our life, willing to submit ourselves to others. And ultimately to God. Now, so we see the humility and anxiety link. Now the second point I want to make today is that there is a casting command. A casting command. Notice with me here. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Now, the word cast or casting, we find it throughout the scriptures, probably 60-something times. But from what I understand from people and scholars that know things better than me, it's only used in the sense that it's used right here one other time in the New Testament. And we find it in the 19th chapter of Luke in verse 35. And that is where we read the story of Palm Sunday, that when we the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem before the week that he would be arrested and ultimately crucified and the resurrection would happen. But you remember he told his disciples, I want you to go down and there will be a colt tied there and a donkey that have never been ridden upon before. That's what he was really referring to, this young donkey there that had not, nobody had ever ridden him. And that's in the context that we see where they cast their garments upon the beast. They cast their garments upon the donkey there, the animal. Now, this is the same type. This is the use of the word here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. So when they cast their garment, when they cast their whatever they had, they threw it upon the donkey. Guess what? They no longer had the garment. They put the garment on the donkey. So they weren't carrying the garment. The donkey was carrying the garment. In the same manner, here in 1 Peter 5:7, he's saying just as the animal carried the burden, carried the bags, carried the load, carried the garments, likewise, that there is a God who is willing to carry your baggage, carry your load, carry your worries, and thus you don't have them anymore. That is what this passage is talking about. And Scripture is very clear that our Lord is a burden bearer. He's a burden bearer. And so I want you to see this today, that there is a command here to cast your care, your anxiety upon the Lord who will bear the burden, and you don't have to bear it yourself anymore. This is what is being taught here in this passage of Scripture. So I want us to see that today. Now I want to tell you one of the most amazing things about our God. Now I want you to hear this now because it's amazing. God commands us to let Him work in our life before He commands us to work for Him. You didn't get it. God commands us to let us work for Him before He commands us to... He command me back up. God commands us to let Him work for us before He ever commands us to work for Him. We got it right? We'll say it one more time so that we'll catch this thing. God commands us to let Him work for us before... You got it. See, you're getting it. I got to get messed up so you can get right. Before He asks us to work for Him. This is very, very critical, especially when we think about salvation. That's what happens. You and I cannot save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves. While we were yet sinners, He died for us because all sin and fallen short of the glory of God. It was what he could do for us, we could not do for ourselves. Likewise, he saved us not by our help at all, not by our strength at all, but he carried the burden of our sin. But not only that, he's the one who keeps us, and we're not helping him keep us either. It is his work alone that is done in our life and for us, whereby we're able to even do any service for him or any work whatsoever. I want us to grab hold of that today. It is what he can do, not what you can do. It is what he can do, not what I can do, from salvation to throughout the whole process of me living my Christian life. It is Jesus and him alone that allows me to be able to stand. So it's not saying that we're not to work for the Lord and serve the Lord. And the Bible teaches us to serve him. The Bible teaches us to do that. But that only really can happen if we've come to him and allowed him to work in us and through us and accomplish his will in us. And so the command to cast is there, and it's a beautiful thing how that he says in Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The next part of that is, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice that we work only when we're yoked to him. We're not even able to accomplish anything until we learn of him. But the work is done in him first. Come unto me in your condition, wherever you are right now. You come to me and I'll take your burden. I will take the load of your cares. I will give you rest, and I will, any work that you do and any service you do has got to come by being yoked to me. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love Psalm 55:22. It tells us there to cast our burden upon the Lord and he will sustain us. Cast our burden upon the Lord and he will sustain us. Isn't that beautiful? Isaiah 46:4 talks about even when we are old, he said, it is me, it is he. Even when we're old, even to the graying of our hair, it is him who will carry us. It is him. He's made us, it says there. He is the one who bears our burdens, but he will carry us and deliver us. That is the word of the Lord today. And so his command to us is for us to cast our care upon him. Now, how does this practically work, you might ask? Because we're good at saying this, but how does that casting actually work? How does the throwing of my care upon the Lord actually work? I'm glad you asked, and that is point three today. And it's what I'll call the care transfer. The care transfer. I've got to transfer my care over to him. There's got to be a transference of the care that's on my back to his back. And he's asking us to do this. You got to keep this in mind. He's commanding us, in fact, as believers here, to do this. He's commanding it, that we'll do this. So how does this practically work? So I want you just to see this for a moment. And I believe that the key here is the latter part of verse 7. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. For he cares. I want you to say that with me. For he cares for you. See, the transfer here of the casting and the practical application of what casting is, we've got to trust that he cares for us. We've got to believe in our heart that he actually cares. We got to believe that. You see, because we can quote that scripture all day long, but if we don't come to a place of faith and trust that he actually cares, then we kind of hold on to it. We kind of cling to it. But when we trust him in faith and we cast it upon him, then the transfer takes place. So you see, so the command here is cast your care upon the Lord. Cast. The promise is he cares for you. He cares for you. There's the promise. So we've got to believe the promise. We've got to cling to the promise. The promise is he cares for me. He cares for me. In a world where we're not sure who cares for us, he cares for us. And so we got to believe that he cares for us, this is not something that I should doubt about, but I've got to come to a place of trusting him more than just an abstract trust. Now, we do say a lot of things in abstract. We'll say, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe God is trustworthy. We say these, and these are right to say. These are things Scripture tells us to say. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is trustworthy. The Lord is our Savior. He's our Deliverer. He's our Lord. We believe he's our soon coming King. But listen, in this particular place here, I think it's very important for us to understand that we've got to become more than just abstract in this. But in casting our care upon the Lord, for he cares for us, we need to lay specific things upon him. We need to actually lay the care. What is that worry? What is that thing that most concerns us? What is that thing that keeps us up at night? What is that child's name? What is that situation that we're burdened with? What is that? And I'm talking about calling that out in prayer and laying that specifically before the Lord. In the 10th chapter of Mark, I believe, 9 and 10, somewhere in there, it tells us the story of a blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He was blind from birth, I believe so, that I remember that. And that he was the one who was saying, as Jesus came down the road, he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." In fact, he was yelling it very loud. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." The people around him tried to quiet Bartimaeus down. And he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And his voice sounded out above the crowd, and the Bible says that Jesus stood still and he turned aside to where Bartimaeus was, and there he said to Bartimaeus, he said, "What would you have me do unto you?" He said, "That I might receive my sight." That I might receive my sight. Do you notice the specificness of that? Do you not know that Jesus already knew that he was blind? Not only did Jesus know he was blind, everybody else did too. It wasn't news that he was blind. It wasn't like he was telling them something they didn't know. But he said, "That I might receive my sight." He was specific. And I will tell you that the care transfer is in us believing the promise, trusting God that the promise is that He cares for me. It's not just that He said the command to cast, but where it's going to happen practically and in reality, it's going to happen when I truly believe that He cares. And I want you to know today that He truly does care. He truly does, and He wants us to take that burden to Him. And He wants us to, with specifics, say, Lord, this is it. This is the particular thing that I have need of. Just like Bartimaeus, Lord, this is, Lord, what I'm dealing upon. This is the thing that has been keeping me up. And Lord, I lay it at your feet because I truly believe you care. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. The five people that know that, join me. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Now 10 other people just learned that song. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Amen. The last thing I want you to notice is this. I want you to notice the prayer connection. You see, because that's what this is all about. You take that burden to the Lord in prayer and you trust Him with that, and you're specific in your prayer. You're specific and you say, Lord, this is my son blank, my daughter blank, my job situation blank, my financial situation blank. This is the financial need. This is the particular crisis I'm in. And I believe, Lord, you care about this situation. I believe that you love me and you care about what is bothering me. And I'm trusting in a God who cares. And therefore I transfer it over to you. And Lord, because I can't carry it. I can't carry it. Back to 2018. I didn't tell anybody. And I was grieving over what I didn't even know I was grieving over. Bothered by what I couldn't even explain that I was bothered over. Didn't want to say anything to anybody. But it felt like the walls were caving in. I want to tell you about prayer and I want to tell you about God today. Even in that instance when I didn't tell anybody, I got an email. It was an anonymous email, but not intentionally anonymous, because it was really the fact that I just didn't have that email address saved in my computer, so it didn't show up the person's name. And I could tell by the way they were addressing me in the email that they knew me, and I knew them, but I just didn't know who it was. But in the email they said, the Lord woke me up during the night and all I could see was your face and you were crying uncontrollably. And I said, Lord, what is this? What is going on with him? What's going on? And so they prayed. They prayed for me. The very next day, they said they were working around the house, and out of nowhere, my face appeared before them again, and I was crying uncontrollably. Uncontrollably. And they went to praying again for me. And then they spoke to me what they believed the Lord was telling them. And it's scripture as well. They said that the enemy had asked to sift me like wheat. But they said, see, that's the same thing Jesus said to Peter. Before Peter denied the Lord, Jesus said, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. He's asked really to come and destroy you. But as Jesus said to Peter, so he was saying to me through this email that was shared to this person he gave this to. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Jesus said that. He said, Peter, the enemy has asked, the devil has asked to come against you, but I have prayed for you. And whom I knew later was a she here in the church. She said, this is what he is saying to you. And I want to tell you, the burden lifted. In that very moment, to know that the burden bearer had taken up my need, he had taken up my concern. He said, you don't have to carry, even though you don't even understand it, you don't have to carry it anymore, because he cares for me and he cares for you. Believe him, trust him, because it's true. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just glorify you in this place. For you are the burden bearer. And we lean upon you today, O God. I'd like for you to stand with me. Just for a moment more. Because this is critical right here. Critical. I'm going to give an invitation to the altar. We're going to have baptism just in a little bit. You can, those that, in just a moment, I'll dismiss those that go ahead and get ready. But if you have a particular care, something that is specifically bringing anxiety to your life and burdening you, and you need to get that transferred by faith in Him, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. When you get here, once I'm going to wait on all who will come pray, and then I'm going to dismiss the rest of you. But if you'll come, just come. I'm going to wait just a few moments before I begin to dismiss. Ask some of our prayer team and different ones and ministers here, those of you who can stay, to stay here with me. Don't have other responsibilities. But we're going to pray together. I want to ask if you can be dismissed at this time, and we'll prepare for baptism as well. You can go to Sunday school. But if you will, go out the back doors instead of coming by way of the front. I love you. God bless you. God is a great God today. And thank the Lord for His word today. I love you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.